Our theme for this afternoon is Psalm 119, 145 through 160. And this will leave us two selections also for next week in the morning. So these are sections Kof and Resh. Psalm 119, verse 145. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. I cried with my whole heart, "Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Resh. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so I suppose the first thing that I wanted to mention here is that there is no licentiousness or no antinomianism for the psalmist. I think if you were to draw any conclusion from Psalm 119, the conclusion that you would draw is that the writer of Psalm 119 is a gospel-loving man who also loves the law of God. I know that sometimes those things are put at odds one with another in today's, not just today's, but in Christianity throughout its history, really. There have been those who have placed almost an antithesis between law and gospel. And certainly, in the way of salvation, there is an antithesis between law and gospel. But there is no law and gospel antithesis in our lives for those of us who trust Christ. The psalmist professes over and over again the appreciation, the love, the affection that he bears toward the commandments of God, the desire that he has for obedience and a growing obedience. At the same time, the wonderful reliance that he has upon the mercy of God, because he knows that he is a sinner. So gospel sinners love the law of God. That's who we are. Psalm 119 is testimony to that. So there's no licentiousness, no antinomianism for the psalmist. He cries out to the Lord in order that he may keep the statutes of the Lord. He has no desire for cheap believism. His is a robust faith that has obedience as its necessary portion. Let's remember that. Then, this is something that we hear often in the Psalms, and it's a very convicting word, but we need to hear it. And that is that I cried with my whole heart. There's no division. in the heart of the psalmist. No dividedness, no double-mindedness. His desire is for the things of God, period. I cried with my whole heart, "Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes." This is a kind of commitment. With his whole heart, he cries out, "I will keep thy statutes. Hear me, Lord, be witness and help to me in this commitment that I've made." "I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies." Salvation and obedience are hand in glove with the psalmist here. All right, so then we have him watching late and rising early. Watching late and rising early. "I prevented the dawning of the morning." Prevented, right? There's that same word again. I went before. I was up before the dawn, in other words. "And I cried, I hoped in thy word." "Mine eyes prevent," also go before, "the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word." So up in the morning, crying out to the Lord with regard to his law, his testimonies. Up late at night, meditating upon the law of God, how he might obey better and more in keeping with the commands of God. All right, so then, notice that this is no self-righteous act of the psalmist. "Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness." You hear that? He's asking for the Lord's covenant mercies, covenant fidelity, not that there is some kind of quid pro quo going on. Loving kindness, the Hebrew word chesed, is a gracious word, speaking of the promises of God. So then, verse 150, "They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth." You see the parallelism there. They're drawing near to me that are against thy commandments, but Lord, thou art near also, and all of thy commandments are truth. So there's a nearness that the Lord has, even when we're surrounded or our enemies are gaining on us. Remember that there is a nearness with the Lord unto loving kindness and obedience towards his people. All right, so then the last verse there, "Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever." It's hard to know in this sentence structure whether the psalmist is saying, "I have known from old time," that is, from my earliest days, or if what he is saying is, "This I have known, that of old thou hast founded them forever." I'm inclined to think of it in the latter, that the Lord's establishments, the establishment of his law, is of old and forever. In other words, it is everlasting to everlasting. So the law then is, well, it because it is God's law, because it has its origin in him, it does not change. All right, so then the second section, resh. Mention is made of persecutors and those who would afflict the psalmist for his stand upon God's good law. Consider mine affliction, deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. And so the psalmist sets himself in the way of obedience and in reliance upon the promises of God. Remember that there are promises attached to obedience, not in a self-righteous sense, not in a quid pro quo sense, but as encouragements to an advancement in obedience, right? You obey, the Lord blesses you. That is an encouragement to greater obedience. Okay? All right, so then there's also a reminder of the antithetical nature of humanity. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek thy statutes. Can we turn that statement on its head rightly? Yes, we can. Salvation is far from the wicked because they do not seek thy statutes. In other words, we're going to find that those who love the Lord, those whom the Lord has given that gift of salvation, they have a different attitude toward the statutes of God. They seek to obey them. The wicked seek to flee from them. And my dear brothers and sisters, as we have heard over and again in our series on saving faith and then repentance and the life, what did we hear? What was the apostolic preaching? The apostolic preaching is characterized by the Apostle Paul as repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that just what we heard in the shorter catechism? What does God require of us? Repentance, faith, and the use of means. These are the things that the Christian life is made of. And it is a truncated and warped version of the Christian life that says, just believe. We do want to believe, and we don't want to minimize faith. Faith is the beginning of all evangelical graces, without a doubt. But if faith is the beginning, let's not make it the end. Right? Let's not make it the end. That leads to what has been termed by some today, I did not coin this phrase, but I find it a useful phrase, what we call easy believism. Right? Just believe. Only believe. There's a sense in which that statement is true, and that's why the deception is a subtle one. But then there's a sense in which that statement is not true. And I think it is most often taken in the sense in which it is not true, as if repentance didn't mean anything and a love of God's commandments didn't mean anything. But it does. That's how the Bible describes it. And so this is a tool, isn't it, for self-examination. If we say, I believe in Christ, then how does the apostle put it? Let them that have believed in Christ be, what? Careful that they maintain good works. Because that's what faith is. Faith carries with it the maintenance of good works. That is, true faith does. Faith without works is, those of you who were in the child's study time, the story time with Pastor Todd, you'll understand, faith without works is, right? It's dead. Okay, so then the psalmist goes on, many, many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. Perseverance. Perseverance in God's commands. Okay, then 158, I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Notice that the psalmist does not say for whom or in what he was grieved. What do you think? What is your conjecture? What is our understanding as to why he would be grieved? Well, first of all, he would be grieved because God would be grieved. Right? Because sin is an offense to him, first and foremost, in everything. If this is David, remember that David also wrote in Psalm 51, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And so we understand that sin is such a high offense, an infinite offense to an infinite person, God himself, that must take precedence in our thinking as well. And so the grief that we have, you know, sinners can be grieved that they sinned. The wicked can be grieved that they sinned. They're grieved because they got caught. They're grieved because of the consequences. They're grieved because of the suffering that their sin has brought. But a Christian will be grieved because God is offended. So that's what I think the first salvo of grievance would be here for the psalmist. Then he would be grieved out of compassion for them. Because truly, when we sin, what are we doing? We are poking holes in our own soul, aren't we? Okay, so then, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Well, that is self-explanatory and certainly commensurate with what we have been saying. And then notice the last verse. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endure forever. And so, looks like both Kof and Resh end by a declaration of the everlasting nature, the eternal nature of the law of God. All right, well, thus ends the reading of Psalm 119 then. Let's stand together and call upon the Lord in prayer.